47. Too many days behind a desk. Mr. Socrates followed Tharper down the passage, carrying the elephant gun in his right hand. The engineering of the temple's burial tomb was stunning, and indicated that the city outside must once have been thriving with trade and teeming with labourers. Perhaps at one time there'd been farms and villages surrounding the temple, the beginning of a new Egyptian empire. He had no idea what had become of the Egyptians. Disease, failed crops, war. There were many things that could reduce an empire to ruins. Perhaps they had just grown tired of jungle life and had returned to Egypt in their barks. He had more important things to think about than long-dead Egyptians. There was, of course, the problem of Modo. The young agent was growing too much of a spine and at the same time was too soft. Worried about the lives of a few savages? Had it been a mistake to have Mrs. Finchley raise him? Had Modo had contact only with men throughout his youth, perhaps he wouldn't have turned out this way. Mr. Socrates thought Modo had been taught that sacrifice was what had brought the British Empire to greatness. Clearly, a review of the lesson was in order. Showing sensitivity toward the tribesmen was not how empires were built. As the tunnel narrowed, Mr. Socrates wondered briefly if Modo had been right to refuse him. Perhaps the chance to launch a surprise strike on Miss Hakandotti had blinded me, he thought. The blow could have cost the warriors, and all of them, their lives. At least Modo had come up with this second plan. The boy's brain was worth something. With luck and a bit of pluck, they could remove the godface and be gone before Miss Hakandotti was any the wiser. But it was bothersome that she hadn't already secured the artifact. What was holding her back? Perhaps it was as simple as not finding the right tunnel. He couldn't imagine what else would have delayed her. Tharper stopped and held the lantern up high so that Mr. Socrates could see a smooth wall, handholds carved deep into the stone. "We will have to climb, Sahib," Tharper said. "Would you like to wait here?" "Are you suggesting I'm too old to climb, Tharper?"
"I would never suggest that, Sahib. I should have said, would you like me to go first?"
"Yes, lead the way." Mr. Socrates handed him the elephant gun. "You carry the gun. Do try to resist firing it in a small space, or we'll go deaf. All right, let's see if these 2,000-year-old footholds will take our weight." Tharper slung the gun over his shoulder, took the lantern in his teeth, and began climbing easily. Mr. Socrates was impressed. Such agility. Tharper didn't seem to age. He followed slowly, digging his hands and feet into the holes. After about 20 feet, he had to stop to catch his breath. Too many days behind a desk.
"Are you well, Sahib?"
"Just keep going, Tharper," Mr. Socrates snapped. "Are you teasing me? Or genuinely concerned about my health?"
"I am always concerned about your health, Sahib."
It was another 10 minutes before they found a ledge to climb onto. Mr. Socrates accepted Tharper's help to get over the edge and lay on the smooth, cold rock, wondering if his heart would burst. He wheezed a few deep breaths until he saw that Tharper was staring at him.
"Don't say a word," he said raggedly. "I'm in perfect health. Now, where are we?"
Tharper lifted the light, and they could see that the ledge was just outside an opening into a small corridor that descended farther into darkness.
"Carry on,"
Mr. Socrates said, then followed Tharper. Soon Mr. Socrates was crawling on his hands and knees, cursing his rheumatism. The Egyptians must have had knees of stone, or they didn't live long enough to develop rheumatism. The passage led into a large square chamber, and Mr. Socrates was relieved to stand again. Tharper waved the lantern around, and there in the centre was, of all things, a chariot, surrounded by clay jars, shields, dry flowers, and an ostrich feather fan. A few of the jars had been broken. He and Tharper weren't the first to enter this room. Perhaps Alexander King had been here. If so, that was good news. "They kept the pharaoh's intestines in a jar," Mr. Socrates said.
"A good place for them,"
Tharper answered, making Mr. Socrates laugh. It was so rare to hear humour from Tharper that it always came as a surprise. They walked through the room to a short passageway ending in a flat stone doorway. Tharpa easily pushed the door aside, and it moved silently into a gap in the wall.
"Brilliant engineers," Mr. Socrates said.
They stood side by side as Tharpa held the lantern high, the light reflecting off rows and rows of what seemed to be mirrors, which had the effect of multiplying light many times over, till it was almost as bright as day in the chamber. Mr. Socrates saw then that what he'd thought were mirrors were in fact rows of white sapphires reflecting the light in all directions. In the centre of the room was a gold-plated sarcophagus.
"The king's chamber! We've made it, Tharpa!"
And at that moment he heard the echo of pistol fire.